The 2024 free agency period is underway. We got a good idea of where the Ravens stand heading in towards the NFL draft. We'll talk all about it. Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. Derrick Henry is officially a Baltimore Raven, something that I talked about ad nauseum as early as the middle of the season, last season. So we'll talk all about that. We'll talk about what the Ravens did as far as moves, who we got into the building, who we had to let go. We'll talk about the NFL draft coming up next month, and we'll have a good conversation about where we think the Ravens are going to go from here. But first, Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, King Henry. For those in Tennessee, they know, they loved him. He's now a Baltimore Raven, something that really was set in stone as early as the end of the trade deadline in the 2023 season. If you guys remember, Derrick Henry was a focal point for the Ravens. They really thought that they can get him in. It didn't go the way they planned. Some internal strife, both in the Tennessee part of things and maybe a little bit in Baltimore, but mostly in Tennessee, that stalled that trade. But the writing was on the wall. We talked to Brian McFarland the last episode, and we said when there's smoke, there's fire, and we both fully expected Derrick Henry to be a Raven, and his free agency period got underway. A lot of good running backs got off the board. Some guys who I thought may make a good fit for the Ravens, may not make a good fit for the Ravens, but for the most part, we knew that Derrick Henry was going to be a Raven, and now he is. They had the signing day with Derrick Henry. They had the whole festivity. You know how the Ravens do when they get a guy in. So they had the press conference, and they talked about what Derrick Henry would bring to the table, and now he's officially a Raven. And now guys like me can salivate at the mouth and really, really get a good look at what this Ravens offense could be. Now, there are some guys in local media, some guys in national media who are like, well, Derrick Henry's past his prime. That's the reason why the Titans let him go. And hey, Derrick Henry might not be the dominant back that he used to be, but he's still dominant. He's still, in my opinion, a top three back in the National Football League. Pair him up with Lamar Jackson, pair him up with the scheme that the Ravens have set forth. This is a no-brainer. Not only is this a no-brainer, it's cheating. It's just cheating. If you look at the Titans' offense, their O-line isn't good. I mean, let's call a spade, right? They're not good. The Ravens have not only a better O-line, but now a better concept for Derrick Henry. Now, there were some rumblings, some rumors that Derrick Henry doesn't really play well with the RPL, with the zone read, with the scheme that the Ravens have in place with their running backs. But I'm thinking, that can't be true. What running back would not want to be in this offense? Derrick Henry is going to enjoy it. Now, are they going to be running the ball like they did in 2019? I don't think so. Did they need Derrick Henry to run the ball 30 times a game? No. 19 times is good enough. When Keaton Mitchell gets back from his injury, he'll be able to spell Derrick Henry in some situations. But you need the threat of a dominant figure like Derrick Henry in the backfield to truly, truly take this offense to this next stage. If you're on the cusp, if you're thinking about possibly not being a fan of this signing, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. I don't see how you can look at this offense and say that this signing isn't a significant world tier, top tier signing. I mean, it fits like a glove. Now, some people may say Todd Monken's offense, you really want a running back who can catch the ball off the backfield, somebody who can be a passing option for Lamar Jackson during those play action reads or those RPOs that may go awry. You need to dump it off to somebody. Derrick Henry isn't really known for catching the football. I mean, he doesn't need to be. He's usually getting you two or three catches a game, mostly throwing screens or what have you. No, doesn't matter. You have a guy like Derrick Henry, you figure it out. And opposing defenses have to make a choice. Are we going to stop Lamar Jackson or are we going to stop Derrick Henry? A lot of defenses, the ones that have had success against Lamar in the past, have decided to screw the running back. We'll deal with him later. Let's focus on Lamar. If he hands the ball off to the running back, then, you know, he'll get three or four carries and we reset. Good luck with that. Good luck with that approach this year. I dare you. If you're in opposing defense, I dare you. Take your eye off of Derrick Henry. He is going to massacre you. Massacre you. I've been trying to think of a way to really combat this two-headed monster attack of Lamar and Derrick Henry. And really the only approach is to keep eight guys in the box at all times. At all times. Forget about the whole DB thing. Oh, let's have fast DBs, small guys who can really go after Lamar Jackson in case he decides to tuck in and run himself. Good luck with your nickelback against Derrick Henry. Good luck with your free safety against Derrick Henry. Your fourth or fifth cornerback option against Derrick Henry. 5'9", 160-pound cornerback against a guy like that. Good luck. Your only approach is to hope that they hand the ball off to Derrick Henry and you have a chance to maybe stop him 4 yards over the line of scrimmage. And when that happens, you're going to give it to Lamar. He's going to tuck it off tackle. He's going to give it to Lamar. You're going to give it to Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews. This is a devastating development that I don't think that the National Football League, media and all, is really taking seriously enough. I mean, we should be still talking about this signing to this day. I thought this was going to be vetoed like the NBA officiating that happened a few years back where the Lakers tried to get Chris Paul and they vetoed that thing. Of course, there were, you know, schematic situations, what have you. We'll talk about it a later day, but I thought they were going to do something like that to stop it. This is really bad for opposing defenses. This is really bad. How are you stopping this? How? Help me understand. If you're on YouTube, if you're on Instagram listening to this, Twitter, what have you, post it in the comments if you're an opposing opponent for the Ravens in 2024. How do you think they're going to stop Derrick Henry? Am I taking the Derrick Henry signing too seriously? Am I giving Derrick Henry too much credit, a future Hall of Famer who's still racking up 1,000-plus yards, double-digit touchdowns against with a Titans team that is lackluster? You bring that element to a team that was 7 points away from the Super Bowl against the eventual Super Bowl champions? What are we talking about here? It's a mind-blowing, unbelievably successful signing by the Ravens. A++++ by Eric DaCosta. Huge. I'm at all. Again, I saw the signing coming. I didn't really hide the fact that I knew the Ravens were talking internally about bringing Derrick Henry in. I knew that Derrick Henry's team was very interested in signing with the Ravens. This was a match made in heaven. It just made it happen. There's nothing really much to it than that. But good Lord, I am excited for 2024. Let's see what the Ravens do. Let's see. John Harbaugh has a great running back. And Derrick Henry, of course, Keaton Mitchell will be back. Unfortunately, Gus Edwards is gone. Gus Edwards has left. He's no longer a Raven. J.K. Dobbins remains unsigned. But I'm assuming based on the way that things are going with Derrick Henry definitely starting and Keaton Mitchell on the rise, J.K. Dobbins doesn't want to be a third or fourth guy option with the Ravens. I don't expect J.K. Dobbins to be back. Justice Hill really showed flashes of brilliance in 2023. So I think this running back unit is set. Maybe they get a guy in the third day or second day even to come in and perhaps overplant these older running backs in future years. But I think this running back room is set with Henry, Hill, and Mitchell leading the way. But John Harbaugh has been receiving some flack a little bit. I mean, since the end of the AFC Championship game, this has been, it's been an issue for a while now between fan bases, but I think this is a really split debate. And some fans have talked to me and said, you know, this isn't really much of an issue. In fact, Sam, this is beneath you to talk about, but I'm speaking to the fans who think that John Harbaugh isn't a top five head coach. I'm speaking to the fans who don't believe that John Harbaugh should be the head coach of the Ravens in 2024 and beyond. John Harbaugh is the second longest tenured head coach in the NFL today. John Harbaugh has been to 3 AFC Championship games, 1 Super Bowl, which he won against his brother, head coach of the year nominee this year, won it in 2019. The accolades go on and on and on. His winning percentage, top 10 among active head coaches. Top 20 all time winning most games ever. He's a bona fide Hall of Fame coach. Yes, the Ravens did not run the ball more than I would like them to in the AFC Championship game. Some of that's on Monken. Some of that's on Harbaugh. Some of that's on Jackson. But that one game does not define a legacy. John Harbaugh is a phenomenal head coach. He will be here until he decides he wants to leave. Steve Bisciotti knows that. Eric DaCosta knows that. John Harbaugh knows that. I know that. It's time for you to be okay with that. To not just be okay with it, to accept it as a good thing. If John Harbaugh were to leave as the head coach of the Ravens today, he would be the head coach of an NFL team tomorrow. Teams will find a way. Oh, you got to go, sir. I'm going to get this guy to be my head coach. This guy knows how to win. This guy knows how to lead. This is clock management great? No. But 99% of the head coaches in the NFL have 4 o'clock management skills. His situational awareness, is it up to par? Sometimes. Sometimes not. But this is a small sample size to the overwhelming picture that is the John Harbaugh legacy as the Ravens head coach. He's been the head coach of the Ravens for 16 years. Mike Tomlin is the only coach with a longer streak of coaching for the same team, and that's with the Steelers at 17 years. Do you get what I'm putting down? Bill Belichick, widely considered to be the best head coach ever, was let go by the Patriots. He doesn't have a job. None is a DC, which is beneath him. I don't think he would be a DC. So let's stop the nonsense. I posted on Twitter that I thought John Harbaugh was the second best head coach in the NFL, only behind Andy Reid. You should have seen my mentions after that. I was getting floored with nonsensical tweets about how he doesn't do this well, or how we can't get over the hump, or yada, yada, yada. Do you know how difficult it is to win in the NFL? Can you even grasp how difficult it is to do what John Harbaugh has been able to do? It is extremely difficult. Extremely. So I don't understand where the flack came from, but it's my show. I thought it would be a great opportunity to get on here in front of the camera and tell you, relax. Relax. John Harbaugh's here to stay. I'm standing 10 toes down. I'm doubling down on my opinion that John Harbaugh is the number 2 head coach in the NFL. And he should have been number 1 if he had got the job done in the AFC Championship game. But that loss does not define him. It's a mark on his legacy, but it does not erase the legacy. And so we as fans of the game have to really separate that. Recency bias, and maybe in your defense, this has been going on for a little bit, even before the AFC Championship game, so this is really just affirming your belief, but I think you need to check yourself. If not John Harbaugh, then who? Mike McDaniel? Somebody say Mike McDonald. And I say, okay, yeah. That's he's a great DC, but how good of a head coach is he? We don't know. We don't know. We'll find out, but we do not know. Come on, guys. Let's talk ball. Let's know ball. John Harbaugh is a phenomenal head coach, and he is here to stay. I wish him well in this upcoming season. He definitely has the tools. We talked about Derrick Henry. We talked about him. What a huge addition he's going to be to this roster. So we'll see what he's able to work with in regards to that. But I'm 10 toes down with John Harbaugh. I think he's going to be a great coach this season and for years to come. And whenever he decides to leave, whenever he decides to pack up and ship off, it'll be because he's decided he's done. 16 years is a long time to be the head coach of a football team. Really long time. So I don't think he has 16 more years in him. I mean, I think I can agree with you there, but the quality of football that's being played by the Purple and Black in Baltimore, top notch. Top notch. I posed a question on Twitter. Well, Instagram, I posed a question. Is John Harbaugh on the hot seat? There might not be a cooler seat in the NFL besides Andy Reid than John Harbaugh. I know Steve Bisciotti. I know what he's about. You guys are to realize this. When the Ravens let go of Brian Billick in 2007, it's been a while, so I can't remember if this was said on camera or off camera, but I was sitting with a group of reporters at the Castle, Owings Mills. Steve Bisciotti said, I want a head coach that's going to be here for the long haul. I want what the Steelers have with Bill Cowher. I want to place the guy in there and let him do his thing for decades until he's ready to go. He's a man of his word. So far, so good. There were rumblings before the Lamar Jackson era began that maybe they might be thinking about letting John Harbaugh go. A lot of fans pointed out, Lamar Jackson saved John Harbaugh's job. Ho, ho, ho. Most quarterbacks save head coaches' jobs. You're not saying anything. John Harbaugh hasn't really had any success without Ray Lewis and Lamar Jackson. Oh, you mean coaches don't have success unless they have Hall of Fame players on their team? Coaches need good players. You're not saying anything. The bad coaches are the ones with good players who perform poorly. That's not Harbaugh. So, you know, that's my little spiel. That's a little grind my gears edition of the Ravens Talk podcast. Put some respect on John Harbaugh's name. Don't catch me up in them social media streets talking about John Harbaugh isn't a top five head coach. I'm not going to take you seriously. Now, if you say John Harbaugh is a phenomenal coach, but maybe it's time for a change, I'll ask you to elaborate, but at least I'll take you semi-seriously. I don't know how you could say that after this guy just brought the Ravens to the AFC Championship game literally less than 2 months ago, but we could talk about it. But the notion that he's not top five, top 10, what are we doing? We're just cracking jokes at that point. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what the Ravens did in the free agency period, what situations may occur prior to the NFL draft that may have Ravens fans' attentions next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. We talked about my little spiel with John Harbaugh and whether or not he is going to be known as a top five head coach, or my opinions about him being definitely number two in the league. We talked about Derrick Henry and his impact on that offense, but you got to talk about something else, because this has also been ringing around the social media train with the Ravens, and that's the wide receiver room. Now, I've already gone on record as saying the Ravens should not draft a wide receiver in the first 2 days of the NFL draft. Why? You got Zay Flowers. He's WR1, period. I feel like Ravens fans are still skeptical because of his size and because of that fumble in the end zone of the AFC Championship game. He has been the focal point of the offense all of last year. As a rookie, didn't miss a beat. Wait until he gets into the weight room. A full offseason to work on his craft. That's set. You brought in Nelson Aguilar. He's back. You lost Devin Duvernay. I give you that. Tylan Wallace is back. He's not going anywhere. Rashad Bateman, an enigma among Ravens fans. I mean, a very large majority of Ravens fans, I would say, based on my interactions, do not believe in Rashad Bateman. And they have the stats to back it up. So it's very hard to converse with those guys when it comes to that. Rashad Bateman, in their opinion, is a lost cause. They should trade him for T. Higgins. They should bring in Cortland Sutton. Get a bona fide guy to come in and solidify it. Then draft Keon Cole or trade up to get Marvin Harrison Jr. at the number four spot. I mean, I've heard everything. This is the time of year where you get it from all sides. The Ravens receiver room is fine. It's fine. It's okay. It's good. You don't have to worry. They're good. You don't have to get a big name receiver every offseason. And this is awful to say as a guy who for the last 15 years made a living, literally, made myself known to the Ravens fan base for consistently and without hesitation bashing the Ravens front office for refusing to get receivers into that room that were quality starters. I'm not talking Hall of Famers. I'm not talking all pros, world beaters. I just wanted some quality starters on the Ravens offense for Lamar Jackson. And there was two reasons for that. One, good receivers make for better television. Good offense makes for better television, which in turn makes it easier for me to watch. The Ravens were unwatchable for a while for me. And I've said that on this podcast a plethora of times. Unwatchable. But that changed. They got Zay Flowers. They got Odell Beckham, who's been released. He's no longer with the team. We all know that. Chances are he's going to sign with the Chiefs, with Marquise Brown, who was a former Raven. The Ravens are okay. They'll be fine. Now, as of this recording, there have been talks that the Ravens have brought in Michael Gallup to try out. They brought in Josh Reynolds, former Detroit Lion, to try out. And I've had friends, half of my friends are Lions fans. Half of my close friends are Lions fans. So I've watched a lot of Lions games, more than the average Ravens fan. So I can tell you that Josh Reynolds can ball. He did have some crucial drops in the NFC Championship games that made him a little sour among the Lions fan base. But like we said with John Harbaugh, we're not going to use one game to define a legacy, as much as we love to do that. The overall picture, he's a playmaker. He can ball. If you want to bring in a guy like that, fine. No hesitation. I'm not too keen on the Michael Gallup signing because then you're back to square one. And that was bringing in Odell Beckham Jr. and having him take touches away, catches away, looks away from Rashad Bateman. And the Ravens realize now, and I know for sure the main reason they let Odell Beckham go, besides the money, let's be serious, besides the money, was that they need to see what they have with Rashad Bateman. And they are running out of time. I mean, he pops up on screen. We've all seen it. If you're on social media, you've seen the way Rashad Bateman makes these cornerbacks look. Lamar Jackson doesn't look his way. Why? He's not the first read. He's not the second read. Sometimes he's not even the third read in that offense. You got Odell Beckham. You got your tight end, either Mark Andrews or Isaiah Likely. You got Zay Flowers. Those are your primary guys, right? In any given situation. That's where the offense is catered to. Odell Beckham demands touches. You pay him that money. He performs well in situations where Rashad Bateman performs well. Who you're going to choose? Are you going to choose Odell Beckham? And so that's who got the ball in those situations. Up to the point where in the later end of the season, Odell Beckham and Rashad Bateman weren't on the field at the same time. Not really. if you look at it. Whenever Odell Beckham made a play, I believe the majority of the time Rashad Bateman was on the sidelines and vice versa. So the Ravens had to make a decision. We spent a first-round pick. Very valuable capital on this player. We have to decide if he's worth the fifth-year option. And that's something they had to decide before the beginning of the season. And we'll touch on that in a little bit. Let's see what we have. So bringing in a guy like T. Higgins, bringing in a guy like Cortland Sutton, even a guy like Michael Thomas, who I think is a little long in the tooth, and injury-wise, he's not really the guy that I'd go to. Bringing a guy like Josh Reynolds, I'm okay with. I think that a guy like Josh Reynolds will be fine. If not, go to the draft. You better not. And this is the saying I say almost every week now on the show. You better not spend a day one pick on a wide receiver this year. There are too many holes on this team. Too many holes. You don't have a pass rusher. Javon Clowney visited with the Jets. They remain very interested. He's also had some interest with the Panthers and the Ravens. The Ravens aren't going to bring Javon Clowney back. Why? Because they don't want to pay him what he's worth. I said it. I know Jadeveon would love to come back because, one, the Ravens revitalized his career. There's a chance he goes to the New York Jets and they don't do with him what the Ravens do. There's a chance he goes to the Panthers and they don't do with Jadeveon what the Ravens are going to do with him, to put him in positions to make plays. So the Ravens revitalizing his career, maybe let's take another shot at a one-year deal, another prove-it deal. Maybe teams don't understand that I'm really back. And you take that shot with the Ravens on a lesser deal than with the Jets or the Panthers. And so we'll see. My understanding is that Jadeveon Clowney wants more money and the Ravens are like, cap's looking kind of tight. Why don't you go around and shop around and see what you can find? Kyle Van Noy. I love that guy on social media. I think he's one of the funnier guys along with Marlon Humphrey. He's chilling. I haven't heard anything from him. Unless I'm missing something. Did he sign with someone? I don't think so. Another guy they could bring back. But besides that, there are holes. They don't have a pass rusher. They don't have guards. They brought in Josh Jones to possibly be a swing tackle. And Patrick McCarr is assumedly probably going to take that right tackle spot unless they do something in the earlier rounds of the NFL draft. They have holes. You cannot spend another first-round draft pick on a wide receiver. I'm sorry. Marquise Brown, Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers. Three receivers within recent years you spend a first-round draft pick on. You don't know what you got with Rashad Bateman yet. It's been 4 years coming up. You don't know. You don't know. You don't quite know. The stats aren't there. You got something with Marquise Brown. You did, but your offense wasn't what he wanted. So he went on to supposedly greener pastures and had, albeit a worse time with the Cardinals than he would hope, but he's a Patrick now. He's Tyreek Hill 2.0 or 0.5, depending on where you stand. He's going to get looks. His numbers are going to look good. So you had someone with Marquise. You traded him away for Tyler Linderbaum. A trade that, in hindsight, totally favors the Ravens. So no shot in the dark there on the Ravens side. You bring in Zay Flowers, who, have, like I said, looks to be WR1 to me. Looks to be the number one wide receiver guy to me. So why are you spending another draft pick? What are you trying to prove? Are you really trying to spend huge, valuable capital at a time where you have holes aplenty? For what? I tell you what, if you spend a day one pick on a wide receiver, Rashad Bateman has to leave. You can't stay. The writing will be on the wall. It will be right there. No shot. So, Rashad Bateman, fifth-year option coming up. The Ravens had this problem the year before with Patrick Queen. The Ravens decided not to exercise that fifth-year option. Patrick Queen's now a Pittsburgh Steeler. And we'll touch on that coming up next. But you have another opportunity to get a fifth-year option. It'd be about $14 million to bring him in for the fifth year following this season. Do you pull that trigger? Do you take the chance? If what you said in the end-of-the-year press conference is to be believed, and if my belief that Odell Beckham took away targets from a now fully healthy 17-game regular season Rashad Bateman, you got to sign him. You got to get that fifth-year option in. Will it be more expensive if he turns out to be another 400-yard, two-touchdown guy? Yeah. It'll suck. But you take that chance. Consider that a draft pick, that $14 million option. That's a risk, yes. But it's a risk with limited risk, I would say, because you see what's on tape. Yeah, he's not the main target. Yeah, he's dealt with some injuries. Yeah, he's dropped some passes in critical moments. He still has the skills, man. It's up to Rashad Bateman to prove it, but you brought in Odell to make a push at that Super Bowl championship. You came a game short. You lost a year of truly trying to figure out who he is. Gained that year back with the fifth-year option. Keep him through 2025, and let's see what he can do. Don't spend the draft capital, at least in the first day. Definitely not the first day. If you're doing it in day two, maybe a little forgivable, but I'd really think the Ravens should wait to round four to really address the wide receiver position, if at all, and keep it pushing. Those are my thoughts. Some people disagree, and it's hard to argue with that. It's hard to argue. Bateman has been inconsistent, but I've seen enough where I would say, just give him that fifth-year option. Let's see, because you could have yourself a bona fide winner. And if you get a fully capable Rashad Bateman with the explosive Zay Flowers and a Derrick Henry in the backfield we talked about in the beginning of the show, you've got magic. But we'll see. Ball's in the Ravens' court. Let's see what the Ravens do. When we come back, we'll talk about some guys who left via free agency to the AFC North. Interesting. Next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. We talked about the additions of Derrick Henry, Josh Jones coming in, Chris Board being brought back. A lot of new faces, but a lot of old faces are jumping ship. Geno Stone is now a Cincinnati Bengal. Tyler Huntley, former Pro Bowl backup QB for the Ravens. He's in the AFC North too. He's a Brown? What? Patrick Queen, the dynamic duo along with Roquan Smith, a Pittsburgh Steeler. How do we feel? Well, it's mixed. If you're a Ravens fan, of course, you don't want to see your favorite players with the rival, but the Ravens made the decision not to bring these guys back, right? So you can't totally knock these players. Definitely not Geno Stone, who I think deserves to be a starter. Definitely not Tyler Huntley, who didn't get any attention from the Ravens to be brought back. I think the writing has been on the wall since last preseason that they weren't going to bring Tyler Huntley back. So good on Tyler Huntley to find work to potentially be maybe a starter. Who knows? With injuries, you don't know. But he's definitely a serviceable backup, and he deserves the accolades and the money and going to a team that's familiar with your work. Not too shabby. And then we have Patrick Queen. Patrick Queen going to the Steelers. Do I think that Patrick Queen picked the Steelers out of spite because the Ravens didn't sign him back? Hell yeah. Absolutely. Now, There are 30 other teams in the NFL besides the Ravens and Steelers. Were they all interested in Patrick Queen? I don't think so. Did Patrick Queen take less money with the Steelers to go to a rival of the Ravens and stick it to the man? Probably not, you know. I think the Steelers probably put their best foot forward. Like I mentioned with Tyler Huntley, the Steelers had familiarity. They know Patrick Queen. Hilariously enough, there's some back and forth between Mike Tomlin, now his head coach, and Patrick Queen in the past, saying that he's not a Raven, which is God's funny, the way he works sometimes. Definitely a sense of humor, that guy. But I'm not going to knock Patrick Queen for choosing the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think it's right up his alley. I think he's the type of guy who feels some type of way, you know, takes the business side of the NFL to heart, I'm sure. And Ravens fans gave it to him. Hell, I gave it to him. I let him have it. My memes on Instagram were funny. They're pretty funny. I mean, I don't like to toot myself, you know, pat myself on the back, but I was on one with that one. I did pretty good with the Patrick Queen hate. But it's all in fun. And Patrick Queen should expect this, right? You go to a division rival, the fans are going to let you have it. And so what does Patrick Queen do? Well, he goes to the press conference with the Ravens. I'm sorry. He goes to the press conference with the Steelers. And he says, hey, it's different. It definitely feels different to go to a rival, but I know the fans are going to feel some type of way. I like to be the villain, though. I'm going to be the villain, and I'm going to do something to him. Let me see him. So he doubled down. Oh, I'm a Steeler now. Yeah. I'm the bad guy. I'm the guy who left from one team to the rival. Yeah, that's me. I'm Patrick Queen. I'm that bad guy. And I was like, okay, good on you, sir. Double down. Be that guy. You're going to get this work, though. You're going to get this social media work. And so fans let him have it again. Oh, you weren't who you were without Roquan Smith. But there's some validity to that. There's some validity. I'll say that. I think Patrick Queen deserves credit. I think he definitely stepped up. Let's not act like anybody could have been in Patrick Queen's shoes and performed opposite Roquan Smith. But Patrick Queen did. Fans definitely did let him have it, though. You weren't that guy without Roquan. You're going to the Steelers? You weren't really that good anyway. We got Simpson coming in to take your spot. I'm sure he got that from all sides on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Threads. I don't know, wherever you go for your social media content. He became the villain. You want to be the bad guy? Ravens fans made sure you knew you were the bad guy. Didn't take long for Patrick Queen to get on Twitter and say, all right, you guys can shut the fuck up now. Pardon my French. You guys can be quiet. It's not even that deep. Players only care on game week about this stuff. Y'all need to touch some grass or something. You're the villain. You're the bad guy, right? Why are you acting all different now? You didn't like being the villain too much, huh? You just thought you wanted to be the villain. Yeah, I'm going to get the Ravens back by doing this. I don't care what the fans think. Oh, you care. We know you care. And so, no disrespect to Patrick Queen. I think Patrick Queen's a pretty good linebacker. I mean, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say that. He's a pretty good linebacker. The Ravens are going to miss some facets of his game that Simpson doesn't have. The hell, Roquan Smith doesn't have. There are elements to his game that translate very well for the Ravens defense. And so there are parts of his game that I think the Ravens will miss. But if you're going to be the villain, you better act like it. You better take that. Hines Ward would never do that. Rod Woodson, a guy who jumped ship, I don't think he'd do that. So be the villain. Be a Steeler. I don't want no, I don't like the way you guys are talking to me. It's not even the regular season yet. You guys need to pipe down. You're hurting my feelings. No. Be that bad guy. Be that guy. So you know, he blocked me on Twitter. I don't know when he did it, but whatever. He hasn't blocked me on any other platforms yet, but I'm sure it's coming. I'm going to pipe down on the Patrick Queen hate on social media until game week, of course, but it's all in good fun. But I think that in the future, I want some dogs on the other side too. I really do love to hate the Steelers. I don't want to feel bad about hating on a guy. So, you know, chill out. Chill out, Patrick. You're a Steeler now. You made that decision. Live with it. Live with that choice. And get ready for that work. Because it's coming. Steelers week, whenever that is, you're going to get it. And it seems like you're not ready to handle it. You can't handle that pressure, right? Doesn't seem like you can handle it. So we'll see. Bring it up on game day. Get ready. Derrick Henry's coming at you, boy. He's coming at you. Trust me, the Ravens are going to be keying in on you because they know your weaknesses. Obviously, you know some of the Ravens' weaknesses, so it should be fun. But yeah, be the bad guy, please. Be the bad guy. Double down. Be that guy. Don't backpedal because the seat got too hot. When we come back, we'll get last thoughts on the Ravens, what they're going to do in the offseason. The NFL draft is rearing its head. Ravens have a lot of work to do to fill up those roster spots, and we'll see what Eric DaCosta has planned because it might shape up to be the one or two guys in the top one or two rounds that really give the Ravens the extra oomph to get past the Chiefs and Bills on their way to a hopeful third Super Bowl. Next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. Like you mentioned, the free agency period is pretty much done. The big signings are done, especially for the Ravens. The Ravens made their big guy. They got Derrick Henry. Okay, we're good. We'll start handing out small contracts to these guys. Arthur Marlette, a guy who I really like in that depth position for the DB spot, comes in. They got other guys, Chris Bordick we mentioned, and Josh Jones at the offensive line. So they're starting to slowly plug away at those holes, but the draft is where you get it done. It's where you not only plug holes, but you get younger at key positions. So I fully expect the Ravens to attack the offensive line. I think that's going to be an area of focus this year, as well as defensive line. Very difficult to get a premier pass rusher in this draft or any draft if you're not drafted in the top 10 or 15, and the Ravens rarely do so. So I expect the Ravens to maybe look for some diamonds in the rough in the second or third rounds of this draft and bring in a guy that can get to the quarterback. We'll see. Draft is definitely a big deal this year because the Ravens had to get away a lot of talent, a lot of guys who are on cheap contracts and contributing big, guys like Geno Stone, guys like Patrick Queen, who we just talked about. So it's going to be an interesting draft. We need to make sure if you're a Ravens front office guy that you're really rocking on all cylinders come this draft. The Ravens are lucky. This is a big offensive line, heavy draft. A lot of quality O linemen that could be found within the first three rounds that could possibly come in and contribute, especially at guard, where I think the Ravens would love to get a little more agile, a little more shiftier, guys that can pull quickly in those zone reads and give guys like Derrick Henry and Keaton Mitchell lanes at a little faster pace than they normally would with the other guys, Kevin Zeitler and John Simpson, two guys who I respect who had decent seasons and definitely contributed to the Ravens making it to the AFC Championship. But you got to get younger in this league if you want to get good, and you got to get better. And I think the Ravens are going to do just that. We'll try and have another show prior to the draft. We'll get a guy in here and give us his thoughts, and I'm sure the Ravens are going to be keying in on the offensive line, the defensive lineman, maybe even a linebacker or two. I'd stay away from the receivers. I'd stay away from the receivers. That's just me. If they do so, you're definitely sending a message to the receiver room. So be careful. We'll see what the Ravens get done. And Eric DaCosta, we trust. I trust him. He'll never get any flack from me. You'll never get any shit talk my way in regards to that guy just because of what he did with Lamar Jackson and what he was able to do with Justin Madubuike, who we didn't even get to talk about. Madubuike, last time we were on the show, got tagged, but soon after, prior to the start of free agency, signs that extension, becomes a Ravens for a lot longer. Big, big, big kudos to the Eric DaCosta Eric DaCosta and in general and his team for getting that job done. I know it was very difficult with Lamar Jackson. And I know it's nice to see them get it done with Justin Madubuike in a quicker and painless style, I would say. That's going to do it for us here at the Raven Sock Podcast. Again, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great free agency period. I got the guy that I wanted in Derrick Henry, and the Ravens are slowly plug away and get some other guys. Don't be surprised if they get a receiver, a better receiver in here, but I do not expect the Ravens to attack the receiver position in the draft, at least not early on. Crazier things have happened. Crazier things have happened. We'll talk again prior to the draft. We'll get some insight, some thoughts on what the Ravens will do, players that they might target, and maybe an undrafted free agent or two who I believe may make a splash for the Ravens upcoming. Until then, we'll see you next time.